Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade finished higher Wednesday. September corn was up 3 to 362 and a half. December corn was up 1.5 to 370 and a quarter. And March corn was up 1.25 to 382 and a half yesterday. Soybeans for September were up 4.75 to 860 and a half. November beans were also up 4.75 to 873. And January beans were up 4.75 as well to 886 and three quarters. Chicago wheat for September was up 2.5 to 462 and a half. December wheat was up 1.5 to 468. And March wheat was up 0.25 to 474 and a half on Wednesday. Soybean meal for September was up 70 to 294.70. October bean meal was also up 70 to 296.60. December bean meal was up 80 cents to $300.30. Finally, soybean oil for September was up 31 to 28.74. October bean oil was up 33 to 28.87. December soybean oil was up 33 as well to 29.12. So to recap, corn was up 1.5 to 3, soybeans were up 4.75, wheat was up 0.25 to 2.5, soybean meal up 70 to 80 cents, soybean oil up 31 to 33 cents. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price in turn prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Technical buying on the Board of Trade boosted grain values today. In northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 322 to 363. Soybean bids are mostly 4 to 7 cents higher at 802 to 827. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 3 cents at 348 to 372. Soybean bids are up 5 cents at 818 to 843. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 3 cents higher, 325 to 390. Soybean bids were up 5 cents at 815 to 853, and wheat bids were up 3 cents at 422 to 463. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 cents higher, 848 to 878. Basis was steady to 2500 to 5 over the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 282.70 to 299.70. But basis unchanged to down 2 at 12 under to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at 373 to 391. But basis steady to down 5 at 10 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 3 to 7 cents higher at 328 to 373. But basis unchanged to up 4 at 35 under to 10 over the September. Soybeans ended up 4 to 7 cents at 840 to 849, with basis mixed at 3300 to 24 under the November. Wheat prices were 3 cents higher at 413 to 423, with basis steady at 50 under to 40 under the September. East St. Louis barge hauling terminal is placed. Their producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents higher at 356 to 358. These elevators raised their soybean prices 6 to 7 cents. Quotations at 868 to 874. Soft wheat closed up 3 cents at 464 to 465. And Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 407 to 408. And contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 315 to 361. Soybeans at 809 to 843. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 342 to 365 and soybeans at 814 to 858. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 305 to 380, soybeans at 810 to 843. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Your livestock futures finished mixed, but mostly higher on Wednesday from the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle and feeder cattle were higher. Lean hogs were lower. Live cattle for August was 87 cents higher to 102.67. October live cattle were 22 cents higher to 100.22. December live cattle were 47 cents higher to 105.30. Feeders for August were up $1.07 to 137.37. September feeders were up $1.57 to 135.30. October feeders were up 90 to 134.55. Lean hogs for October lost $1.67 on Wednesday to 63.30. December lean hogs were down $1.50 to 62.67. February lean hogs were down 97 to 69.82. So to recap, live cattle were up 22 to 87 cents. Feeders were up 90 to $1.57. Lean hogs were down $1.67 to 97 cents. Now we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.41 lower. In a range of 58 to 71, 50 with a weighted average carcass price of $67.66. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were $2 lower with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 28 to 33, 4 to 5 weighted 30 to 35, 5 to 6 weighted 33 to 40, and over 600 pounds, $35 to $43. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $41 to $49. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts have totaled $25,130. In the direct cattle trade, National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on a dress basis trade at $172 to $175. Choice heifers and live basis traded at 105 to 107 and address basis at 175. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, training for retailing processing cuts was established with 310 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $81.24, which is $2.67 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $241.74, which is 4 cents higher, while select carcasses are $215.70, which is $1.43 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000 compared to 116,000 last week, 117,000 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 482,000 compared to 483,000 last week and 473,000 1 year ago. A recap of today's Greenville livestock auction had total receipts up 464. Compared to last week, all classes of slaughter cattle reported sold 75 cents to a dollar higher. The Tyson plant closure continues to affect the market. Choice steers from 105 to 111, Holstein steers choice at $83 to $90, and choice heifers from 104 to 110. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now in Ag News for part two of your Thursday morning Ag show. The final Indiana numbers are in from the eastern leg of the 2019 Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. Indiana's average estimate corn yield was at 161.4 bushels to the acre, which is down 11% from last year. Soybeans numbered 924 pods in a 3 foot by 3 foot square, which is off 29% from last year. Pro Farmer editor Brian Greet gives his thoughts on the state of Indiana.
What we saw in Indiana was better than what we saw in Ohio, but it wasn't a whole lot better, to be honest with you. It's still immature, still has a long ways to go, still a lot of question marks. The yields were better, the pod counts were better, but they still weren't up to standard for what the state of Indiana anticipates growing. And you know, that's the biggest takeaway, I think, from the first 2 days. Immaturity and a lot of question marks on these crops.
While Tuesday finished Indiana scouting, it also began in Illinois. There's a lot of the state to cover, and the results were released last night, and we'll have those for you this afternoon on the Afternoon Ag Show. But Greet's initial thoughts was less than expected for Illinois.
I can only speak to my personal route so far in the eastern part of Illinois, and I came through some pretty good dirt, and there was a fair amount of PP acres, so one, that's startling to see that good ground that didn't get planted, and two, the pod counts were disappointing on my particular route, and the yields were, they weren't up to snuff. They weren't even average, and so that raises a lot of questions, but there's still a lot left to sample in the state, so I don't want to make too many judgments, and I'm only speaking to one route right now.
A couple of the biggest questions continue to be on the mind of scouts this week.
At what point does the growing season end, and how much of that yield potential that we're currently measuring will actually be realized into the final estimates here?
Results of the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour are online at profarmer.com. And after a disappointing start to the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour in South Dakota, there was some good news coming out of Nebraska on Tuesday. Western Tour leader Jeff Wilson says the crop was average. There weren't many home runs, but there weren't many strikeouts either. The corn side of things came in at about the same as the USDA's estimates.
So what we found was 172.6 bushels per acre, and we had over 300 samples, so that's a very good sample size. That's down 3.7% from last year's number at 179, which is a very good year. And that's kind of in line with what we saw from USDA earlier this month, when they forecast a 3.1% drop in their yield forecast to 186.
Dryland corn has been the surprise with the abundance of early season moisture. The dryland corn is bringing the yields up. In contrast, the irrigated corn is not providing the boost it normally does.
Normally, in a good year, the irrigated crop will bring the yield up. And in a poor year, when you don't get very much rain, the dry land will bring the yield down. This year, we got a little bit of push up from the dry land crop, but we're not getting a pull up from the irrigated crop. It's not pushing down, don't get me wrong. It's not pushing down. It's still good, but it's just not giving us another little bounce.
Nebraska soybeans came below last year's results and even below a three-year average for the state.
We found 1,211 pods in a 3-foot by 3-foot area. That is down 6.8% from a year ago, when we had almost 1,300 pods, and it is slightly below the three-year average of 1,218 pods, well, a 0.6% difference. That can happen in the field. You can lose the pods out there, so it's not a big deal.
The question has been raised at each stop about how the tour processes prevent plant fields which are being encountered. Wilson gave a very simple answer.
Move on. Prevent plant acres are not part of the equation. It's all about harvested acres times yield gives you production. We have already accounted for prevent plant acres from the numbers that we got from USDA earlier this month.
The western leg of the crop tour continued yesterday in western Iowa. And remember, you can follow the conversation on social media at the hashtag PFTour19. And in continued news from the Midwestern Crop Tour, farmer anger spread to the farm tour Wednesday. The Department of Agriculture pulled all personnel from the tour after an angry farmer allegedly threatened a USDA employee over the phone. Pro Farmer says the threat reported on the western leg of the tour was not from a tour scout or farmer that attended the crop tour meeting. The threat was reported to local authorities, and Pro Farmer announced additional security measures for the remainder of the event. Officials did not announce the nature of the threat or who was threatened. Federal Protective Services are investigating the incident. Compounding stress in farm country continues to grow as farmers face depressed prices, trade issues, and a challenging growing season, along with farmers questioning the USDA's data. Pro Farmer recognized that it's clearly a stressful time right now, but that stress does not justify making threats to federal employees or anyone on crop tour. The tour concludes tonight in Rochester, Minnesota, and the final estimates will be released tomorrow. In the latest news with the trade war with China, China is hopeful that the U.S. will meet them halfway in the trade negotiations. In a daily news conference, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson expressed hope the two sides could find a mutually acceptable solution through the trade negotiations. China maintains that economic cooperation between China and the United States is win-win in nature. China and the United States are each other's top trading partners and represent one of the world's most important bilateral relationships. Trade experts don't think the United States' sale of a fighter jet to Taiwan will interfere with the talks. However, the spokesperson from China did request the U.S. immediately cancel the planned sales. Otherwise, the U.S. will have to bear all the consequences. President Trump took to Twitter and said the United States is doing great on trade talks with China and others as part of a tirade against the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. Negotiators are set to meet early next month in Washington. U.S. farm groups continue to urge a quick resolution to the trade war as China has halted buying U.S. agricultural products. Moving on into state ag news, Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood and Rodney Davis made a stop in Bloomington on Tuesday to discuss trade and infrastructure with local community members. LaHood says passing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement is essential for Illinois. He says about 40% of the products grown, produced, or manufactured in the state are sent to Mexico and Canada.
We have a tight window when we get back in September. We have 3 weeks here that, you know, if we don't get it brought to the floor then and begin this debate, it starts in the Ways and Means Committee, as all trade agreements do. And if we don't get it done, you know, it's going to be a severe disappointment.
Meanwhile, LaHood and Davis both agreed more needs to be done at the federal level to address infrastructure. Davis said many lawmakers are quick and want to increase the gas tax, but he believes other sources of revenue should be addressed as well.
I want Rivian to sell more vehicles. I want Rivian to be very successful here. But electric vehicle owners pay nothing right now, nothing into the Highway Trust Fund. And if you just increase the gas tax, and at the same time the federal government is trying to encourage people to buy more electric vehicles and also encouraging regular engine manufacturers to make engines that burn less of it, then we're not really solving the long-term solvency problem of the Highway Trust Fund.
The Central Illinois lawmakers also addressed recreational marijuana and raising the minimum wage. Also in state ag news, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is promoting hunter safety. The agency's Tim Schweitzer says information is readily available online at dnr.illinois.gov.
Hunter safety education is also offered. Hunter safety education is required for most people these days. Those of us who are a little older might have escaped doing that, but taking a refresher course on hunter safety education is not a bad idea. And a lot of those courses are held during the summer prior to the busy fall hunting seasons. So again, check the Illinois Department of Natural Resources website. Just click on safety education and get some details on where those courses might be offered. And if you're interested, or if you're in need of having that safety education certificate in hand to get your hunting license, make sure you get that done before it really gets busy. Of course, dove season opens on September 1st. We also have an early Canada goose season that opens in the state on September 1st. So hunting season is here, or will be shortly.
The archery deer hunting season opens in about a month on October 1st, and the first two firearm weekends are set for the weekend of November 22nd and December 5th. Moving on now into local news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture State Director Douglas Wilson on Monday announced that the USDA will be awarding grants for projects in all states and Puerto Rico to reduce energy costs for farmers, ag producers, and rural-based businesses and institutions. Under Monday's announcement, the USDA will be investing $9.3 million through the Rural Energy for America program for renewable energy and energy efficiency projects across the country. Congress appropriated $50 million for the program grants and loan guarantees in fiscal year 2019. The USDA will make an additional funding announcement of the program in the coming weeks. Recipients can use the program for funding a variety of needs, such as conducting energy audits and installing renewable energy systems, such as biomass, geothermal, hydropower, and solar. Funds also can be used to make energy efficiency improvements to heating, ventilation, cooling systems, insulation, lighting, and refrigeration. There is also a local example of how farmers, rural business owners, and institutions are making improvements in their own operations through the program. In Carlinville, for example, MJM Electric Co-op will be using roughly $19,000 in the program loan and grants to purchase and install a new geothermal system at their facility to offset previous energy use. This project will realize more than $8,900 per year in savings and will replace over 212,000 kilowatt hours per year, which is about enough energy to power 20 houses. In April of 17, President Trump established the Interagency Task Force on Ag and Rural Prosperity to identify legislative, regulatory, and policy changes that could promote agriculture and prosperity in rural communities. Moving along, in other events around the state, the Half Century of Progress show starts today at the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul. If you need more information on the event, you can visit their website, halfcenturyofprogress.com. Some of the events scheduled for today, of course, is the gates open in an hour here at 7. At 8 is the Half Century of Tractor Ride, which will depart Rantoul. 8:30 to 11 is field demonstrations. At about 1 is when the tractor ride will return. Field demonstrations will then be taking place from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. There'll be a band, the Back Pages Band, from 3 to 6, and the tractor pulls at 4. Tomorrow, Friday, the gates will open back up at 7. There will be then field demonstrations from 8:30 to 11, a parade of power at 1. Field demonstrations then resume back again at 1 to 4. The West Wheeler and Battle Creek Band will play from 2 to 4, and tractor pulls will then take place again at 4. And remember, this is all ongoing at the Half Century of Progress show in Rantoul through Sunday. Tomorrow morning, Friday, will be the first of its kind Breakfast on the Farm event hosted by Nodal Limited Farms at their farm site in Witt. With more information on this first of its kind event, David Jenkins and I spoke with Heather Hampton Nodal.
Yes, our farm, Nodal Limited, we are really excited to be working with the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce and Montgomery County Farm Bureau to host the first of its kind Breakfast on a Farm. So we're inviting anyone who's interested in learning about 21st century farming to come on out and join us for a complimentary breakfast and a few interactive, we hope to be fun things.
What are those fun things? Can you tell
them? Well, yeah, I think I can remember, yes. We have Nokomis FFA chapter that's going to have a trivia contest patterned after a Jeopardy-type concept. That'll be one of the stations. So we'll have kind of a brief good morning after everyone eats their breakfast and welcome. Then going into trivia for one station, and another station will be technology, where people will get to learn about solar systems and remote-operated grain bin controls and drones at one station. And another one will be equipment, so you get the chance to climb up into a cab. Maybe it's one of those giant sprayers that, to me, look like something off of Star Wars, right? They drive down the road, yeah. Semi, other things. And then a fourth station will be learning about food labeling, because there's a lot of information out there and a lot of labels out there, but what does it mean? And then people get to rotate through all four of those and then come back together, and we're going to do a commodity trading kind of game. So looking forward to it, and it's also a chance to eat some M&Ms there at the final end. That'll be part of our commodity trading game.
Can never go wrong with M&Ms. Gabe, you probably know more about the actual agriculture-related stuff that she just described anyway.
Well, and two, what I was going to ask Heather is, this is more of a chance for people that might live in town to get an actual opportunity to actually see how farming is done now, because I wouldn't say stereotypic, but, you know, everybody thinks, oh, open cab tractor, they plow, then they plant, and then it grows. But there's a lot of steps to go into farming today.
There are. It is truly year-round. And on our farm, we have corn and soybeans, so it's a lot of what people see grown around here. We also have Angus cattle, black Angus, I always like to say, remind everybody. And that'll be a chance for them to ask some questions, right? Because even people who grew up on a farm and maybe now are retired from some other business or state employment or something like that might say, yeah, the size of the equipment has changed, and my guess is the amount of technology and just how you do things. And it's literally changing every day. So, Gabe, you're exactly right. We just want to give people a chance to ask some questions, learn about it, and see it firsthand.
And it's coming up on Friday, August 23rd. We're speaking with Heather Hampton Nodal about their Breakfast on the Farm. It's a free catered breakfast, I understand. Are you requiring reservations or anything?
It would be nice if people could call the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce, or you can register online at hillsboroughchamber.net, I believe, is their website. And there's a neat little registration thing there, because we'd like to make sure we have enough food.
Right.
So that's the key. And also tables and chairs for when we come together so people are more comfortable while they're on site.
That's kind of important.
It is.
Having a place to sit.
It is. And we're really lucky, because the response from our friends in the agriculture community has been tremendous. Security National Bank was excited to be part of it. Nathan Clements and Greg Holcomb with Country Financial are really on board and super excited. M&M Service Company. And we've had several others, like Matt Stolte with Pioneer says, hey, can I help you park cars? I'll bring my gator or whatever and come down and help. And Seavers and Sloan's have said, we'll donate some little toy tractors that people could win in the trivia contest. So it's really been just a neat kind of team and family type exercise as we plan for this.
So the breakfast is catered by Milano's Catering. I didn't even know they did breakfast.
They do. I don't know when Jason sleeps, right?
Okay,
because
right.
You go and you talk to him like, oh, yeah, I've been up since 3 doing a breakfast. I have another noon event and then an evening prime rib, right? And he just rolls with it. But we know it will be good.
What kind of, do you know what kind of food you're going to be in for?
Well, definitely B&G's, as Caitlin with the Chamber says. So biscuits and gravy for sure. And Prairie Farms has donated some milk and yogurt for people, so, and different flavors of milk and orange juice, which another wonderful kind of donation that came out of the blue. We have, what else was it? Pancakes, I think, and eggs and bacon. We've got to have bacon.
All classic breakfast foods.
I know.
It's nice to see local businesses like Milano's and Prairie Farms involved in something like this as well.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. It's been fun to get that kind of positive response, and we'd like to be part of this. And now our hope is, we know it's on a Friday morning, and we know we tried to set this 7:30 time. It sounds early to some people and not early enough to others. We wanted it in a time frame that if people had to go to work, you know, they might be able to still show up by 9:30, right? We're going to be done by 9 a.m. And if people want to stay around and ask questions, they can. But otherwise, you give them that chance to go ahead and get on with their day, too. So we're hoping this time frame can work out. Those who are currently employed and working on the Friday, and those who are retired and are looking for a way to keep learning.
And that was Heather Hampton Nodal with Nodal Limited Farms. And their Breakfast on the Farm event will be taking place again tomorrow morning from 7:30 till 9 at their farm site in Witt at 106th East Oak Street.